I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Football Friday. All right, what's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney. Yep, it is a Football Friday, in case you didn't get the verbal memo. And we're set up inside of our studio, of course, the Tinky and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who understands it's not just a mortgage, but it is your mortgage. That is the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. All right, I think we have to all do something that very few of us like to do in this business. Man up and say, I was wrong. And I was wrong. I was really wrong about the Raiders. To the point, Teak, where, and again, it's what they showed on Hard Knocks. Clearly, that wasn't necessarily representative of every day in camp, although the overriding issue was Antonio Brown's frostbite, the helmet gate, the flare-up with... I mean, think about the ridiculousness of the summer,
right? I actually kind of forgot about the frostbite.
That's why I'm reminding you.
With all the other stuff, I forgot about the frostbite nonsense.
The blow-up with Mike Mayock, and to a man, some a little more aggressive than others, and I was certainly in that category, openly mocking the Raiders. Mm-hmm. John Gruden stealing money. $100 million for 10 years. He's stealing money. The game may have passed him by. How do you believe in this plan? They're going to be horrendous. 3-13. Well, the funny thing happened along the way. As the jokes were coming in, they were grinding. And while nobody was looking, they were getting brick by brick by brick. And their foundation is set to the point where we can now officially say that they won the trade with the Bears. And the restoration of one of the most iconic brands, not just in our country, because I'll throw Man U in there. Yeah. I'll throw in Real Madrid. Of course, you have the Lakers and the Yankees and the Cowboys and the Red Wings and all the Notre Dames and the Dukes and the Carolinas, all of the incredible iconic brands that that permeate the sporting sphere. Don't forget about the Raiders, which, by the way, is right up there with anybody.
I just got to catch you up. Man U is not relevant anymore. They're like fifth and sixth in the Premier League.
Hey, listen, just because you have a down year doesn't mean
down
that you...
Down two years, whatever. Liverpool and Man City who won the
cup. I threw it in there because I thought it would sound good.
But they are still one of the top grossing brands.
And branding. Toronto's been horrendous for years. The Maple Leafs, they still have a great brand.
I'm not ready to claim the Khalil Mack trade in the Raiders' favor yet.
Oof.
Mainly because of what he did last year and what their defense did last year in going 12-4, and there are Cody Parkey. The triple doink? Was it double or triple?
It was a triple doink.
The triple doink.
It was doink to the third power. It was a rough one,
going
man.
Going to the next round of the postseason, which would have been a huge success. Now, the challenge in evaluating the trade, let's just stick there for a second, mm-hmm. because that's what people are talking about most, because the Bears are scuffling right now, is Khalil Mack can have a ridiculously impactful day, and it might not even affect the outcome of the game.
Correct.
You have three sacks. You have four sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, you can still lose the football game because the team can't score.
Correct.
Whereas the impact player that the Raiders drafted with that draft pick, it's Josh Jacobs, who's going to win Rookie of the Year, likely. Yep. He's already over 800 yards. He scored the game-winning touchdown last night. He's a great receiver. He's a strong, powerful receiver. It's almost like he's been in the league for 4 years already. How aware he
Great
is.
Pick.
So swapping Khalil Mack essentially for Josh Jacobs, who is an impact offensive player and affects winning and losing more than Khalil Mack probably affects winning and losing, you probably could say that the Raiders have won the trade. In addition to the fact, as you've alluded to, they're going to get a top five pick or 10 pick.
Correct.
If the Bears continue to fade
Correct.
Right now in 2020.
Yeah.
So they turn it immediately again, which is pretty fascinating considering 2 years ago we were laughing at the Raiders.
Two months ago, yeah. I was laughing at the Raiders. I mean, listen, I was. I'll take that one on the chin. I remember one show that you were out. I mean, I went hard on the Raiders because I really thought they were placating. This is before there was final and ultimate resolution with the Antonio Brown stuff, and I thought they were placating him too much. And, I mean, it's on YouTube. I went bonkers. I mean, I called out Mayock. I called out Gruden. I called out the franchise. I mean, obviously, I eviscerated Antonio Brown as well because he's culpable. But I thought the Raiders were setting this horrendous tone that I really thought would permeate the rest of the franchise. Young, impressionable players. I was wrong. Yeah. I was so wrong. I was wrong. They might go to the playoffs this year, man. They had the Bengals next week. Then they play the New York Jets, two of the worst teams in football. Yeah, they already have 5 wins. They should be 7-4.
Yeah, if you want a future check off W's and L's, there's two right there. They're 7-4 right now. But it's interesting when you talk about the Antonio Brown thing because it felt in real time. You're right. I was even like guilty of this. And I think everybody was. How could you not be?
Everybody was. I was just a little worse.
You just felt like the Raiders are mismanaging this, man. What the heck are they doing? Why are you just letting this hang around? Why are you letting this distraction be a part of anything? But they actually handled it correctly because I think they allowed it to exist with the idea that they were going to push him out and not have to pay him a dime. Or, well, other than the $1 million, it was guaranteed. But there was 30 on the table. So not only do you get rid of the headache, you save $29 million and keep yourself, you know, solvent for whatever comes next season or at the trade deadline. They didn't end up making a move, but you know what I mean. So they actually played it perfectly. We just couldn't see it in real time.
Well, and I think by extension, they also played the Amari Cooper situation pretty well. Cooper's going to try to play this week, but he's been banged up really the entire season. And, you know, listen, it's funny because you can evaluate, you know, quite literally what the Raiders got back in return for Mac. That's one aspect of the deal, and we obviously went through that.
Yep.
They turned the first-round pick that they get. They'll have another one this year, as you alluded to, obviously. And every time the Bears play, that's shooting up the board because it's a probable top 10. It's a possible top 5. But I think you need to go deeper than that because if you actually step back and look at this through a broad lens, you can sit here and say, let me see. We know Khalil Mack's terrific, although he's not making the dynamic, disruptive plays he did a year ago. Still, he's still solid. He's still very good. But he's going to be 30 in a year and a half, okay? He's due $26.5 million against the cap. They don't have a franchise quarterback. They need to do a lot. And they have about $12 million in free agent money next year, the Bears. So their whole building is in shambles from monetarily and also from a roster construction point of view.
They needed Mitch Trubisky to be the guy, and he's not.
He's not. And then you pair it up with, and again, Jacobs is the easy part. The kid Waller, they have their tight end. The kid Colton Miller, the left tackle, very good. Trayvon Mullen, their cornerback, is very good. And by the way, they now have, compared to the $12 million that the Bears have to try to regenerate that roster on offense, the Raiders will have $70 million flushed with cash as they go into Nevada, as they go into Las Vegas. From every conceivable angle, from the win last night. And by the way, and this is important, this is what I really underrated, the inner toughness that you can't measure with a stopwatch.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this 2 weeks ago. They went from September 15th until November 3rd without a home game, a conventional home game. One was in London. They were the home team. So here we are. They have 5 wins. I know they're behind the Bills and the Colts. But, you know, if they lose to the Bengals, then I even if they did, I still wouldn't take this back.
Yeah,
their trajectory is still aligned the right way.
They're not losing to the Bengals with a rookie quarterback.
No, they're not. They're absolutely not. And I don't think that they'll lose to the Jets either. I'm almost tempted to say that they're going to find their way into the playoffs.
Which is crazy
to think about.
They
got to play Denver
again. I'm looking at the rest of the schedule. Chiefs at Chiefs.
That's in three weeks.
That's a rough one. Titans, winnable. Jags.
Titans can't score.
Winnable. Chargers, again, winnable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. If you extrapolate it out, and it's not fair to do that because teams get worse, better injuries happen, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
They are a playoff team, and the way that they're playing with this grit, which is exciting to watch and interesting to watch, is what's most telling about them. On the other side of this, BT, just to hit the Chargers real quick, we briefly at the beginning of the season had questions about Philip Rivers. Look, we love him.
I had a lot of them.
We're not going to throw the Everybody knows the accolades. We know them.
Yep.
We had questions about his decision-making ability, the turnovers at the end of last season.
Yep.
And
December was 6 touchdowns, 6 picks.
Exactly. It didn't get any better, and it's not getting any better.
That first pick that he threw was one of the worst throws you'll see anybody make this year.
It was unreal.
It was horrendous.
It's like he shot putted it.
Yeah.
Like, he always has a little bit of a shot put throw anyways. But that one really looked like a shot put. It had no spiral on it. It was so, like, the receiver's wide open.
He was.
He had no, like, accuracy in it. He wasn't really pressed. And the second one that he threw that was returned for a touchdown, and he had another one.
That one, though, I thought was on the receiver who slipped. I could give him a little pass on.
But still, it was returned for a touchdown. The third one, it was like he was gifting it. The safety was just sitting still. It didn't move.
What about the one that was negated?
That's what I mean. That was the one, the third one. Now, the end zone. The safety was sitting in the end zone. It got called back because of legal
contact,
lined up.
Right?
No, lined up. Lined up in the neutral zone. And so, yeah, he's just Melvin Gordon is finally getting it, and Phillip Rivers is the one letting them down. It's weird.
I don't know why they abandoned the run. I don't know why. I mean, when he got the football, and not just him. I mean, every time they ran the ball, they ran the ball well. And they said this on the broadcast last night. I know they just changed coordinators. What is it? Second game on the job. I know that there's an element of transition there. I hear you. But listen, last night was a great start to Week 10. Because, you know, and to be fair, I thought the Chargers would win. Tiki picked the Raiders. I thought the Chargers would win because I thought the Chargers' pass rush would get to Derek Carr.
But then Ingram got hurt.
But then Ingram missed the game, and he did get a sack early in the game, but before he got hurt. This Raiders team is obviously relevant. They've got a chance to do something, I don't want to say special this year, but even being a wild card team based on where they've been,
it's a win.
Would constitute being special for that fan base as they get ready to leave.
No, it's a huge win for them because everybody thought this season was going down the dumps after Hard Knocks and everything that went on. Now they feel viable.
Yeah.
That's all you can ask for.
I hear
you. You're one game past the halfway point. All you gotta want is a chance. The Raiders have a chance. Some other teams can't say that.
Let me ask you a question. Now, I know that it doesn't go down this way because they don't play head-to-head. But if you took, because we talk about what's in front of the Raiders with the Bengals and the Jets, etc. You take the Bills and the Raiders on a neutral field. Who are you picking?
I'd pick the Raiders.
I probably would, too.
Yeah, they run the ball. Their defense doesn't measure up to the Bills. But offensively, they're significantly better than what the Bills consistently put out there.
Mm-hmm. Who are you picking? Raiders, Colts, neutral field. That's probably more of a toss-up.
Probably a toss-up. I'd say Colts. Healthy Jacoby Brissett, I'd say Colts.
But it's close, right?
And T.Y. Hilton, who, I mean, we got to figure out where he is, T.Y. Hilton. So there's a lot of issues with the Colts. But if it was like tomorrow, I'd probably say the Raiders.
Yeah. Last night was a fun night. Last night was, you know, if you just tuned in here, last night to me was the restoration, at least for the full nation to see it. You know, you don't just restore something in one game. Clearly, you don't want to overreact that much. But, you know, week by week, and at one point they were 1-2, and they just looked as if those punchlines were going to, you know, hit the target and we were going to be right on it. It was going to be another wasted year for Gruden, stealing money, not really knowing is Mayock really fit for this job and the whole AB circus and all this stuff. And here you go. As we get to the middle of November, they crank out their fifth win, and they've had some impressive performances, and it is nice to see an image and a brand that has been so down and so irrelevant for so long. I thought last night was great for the NFL, and I know it was great for the fans, so pretty good stuff. 1-855-212-4227. Are you buying the Raiders? Are you buying the Raiders as a playoff team? And, you know, listen, I've said this many times. I don't think enough people in our business, we all like to, you know, pat ourselves on the back. Hey, I nailed this. I got this. Oh, yeah, I got this pick right. Oh, yeah, I'm 60% picks against the spread. That's all well and good. But can you open up your mic and look into a camera and say, not only was I wrong, I was woefully wrong. And I have no problem doing that. I was dead wrong with the Raiders. Gruden has something for sure with this team. What do you think? 855-212-4227. Oh, yeah. Plus a big college football game this weekend. We'll squeeze it all in. It's a football Friday. We'll make our picks. Inbounds, out of bounds. Josh Booty, our buddy, former quarterback with the LSU Tigers, will join us in hour two. But right now, are you buying the Raiders? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855 212-4227. That's 1-855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. And on Twitter is where you'll find our poll question, which pertains to the big one tomorrow on biggest game of the year on CBS, of course, 3:30 Eastern, Bama, LSU. Very simple. Who wins, Alabama or LSU? Let's see. We just put this up. A couple of hundred votes. And right now, 59% of you rolling with the Tigers.
Tigers?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
That's a good one.
Joe Burrow back to pass.
Yes.
He surveys the field. He's got a man that is open.
From an offensive standpoint, this is not your father's or grandfather's Alabama LSU game.
Because true.
It used to be a slugfest. And I think the last time LSU won, it was that type of game. But these two offenses are ridiculously explosive. I would be down for Compass Media doing the national broadcast of this game, and I can't wait.
Now, how pumped are you that you're going down to do this game, man?
The only thing that's going to be bad is the security updates, because the president's going to be there.
That's right.
So
that's right.
But we talk about Alabama, whether or not Tua's going to play. And
he's playing.
I know he is. But Mac Jones looked good against Arkansas. Granted, it was Arkansas, but he looked good.
Mm-hmm.
They have the three-headed monster. Really, it's a four-headed monster if you count Jalen Waddle. With Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs III and Devontae Smith, you know, between the four of them, they have like 25 touchdowns. And Waddle is the leading punt returner, so specials in the nation right now. But for the Tigers, it's Joe Burrow, right? Joe Burrow is the leading Heisman candidate. He's got 79% completion percentage. He's almost thrown for 3,000 yards. It's ridiculous to think of an LSU quarterback who is that good. Oh, and by the way, their receiving core is great too. Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and Terrence Marshall, but then three of them have 25 touchdowns on the season. So it's going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome game.
That's just a little surface stuff. We'll obviously dive very deep into this game in hour two. It pretty much dominates our hour number two. Right now, we're talking about the Raiders and the restoration of a brand, really, the galvanization, if you will, of an entire fan base. How awesome was it to see John Gruden? You know, and there's mean mugging for the cameras and the photo op, and then there's just pure, unbridled, unfiltered.
Yeah.
I'm going to smack some hands. I'm going to hit some flesh because I love these people and what they represent. Look, and damn it, as pumped up as I am to move to the sweet new stadium, I'm going to miss these people in the black hole in the East Bay. That was great.
We forget that he's a Raider. You know what I mean? It's like it's his first job when he was, 28 years old, however old he was when he first got that job. And he was great there until he bounced and then went and beat him in the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And created this brand for himself doing his quarterback thing, whatever he did. I forget what that thing was called. But it was awesome. Like, he has this personality that's authentic. It's crazy, and it seems and comes across as corny sometimes, but it's authentic.
I love it.
That's exactly who he is.
Yep.
If you talk to him in a room like I did when he was trying to get me to come out of retirement, you sit in a room and talk to him, he acts the same way that he does on TV. You're like, dude, this has got to be an act. It's not.
No.
It's just how he is.
Only difference is when the cameras are there, a few fewer F-bombs drop.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's the only difference. He has that little filter. Otherwise, what you see is what you get, and the Raider fans have to be pumped. Let's get some calls. Are you buying the Raiders? What do you think? I mean, obviously, they beat the Colts this year already. They're in front of them, so a little head-to-head in terms of a tiebreaker. They would be there for the wild card if it gets to that point. The Bills are up there as well. But, you know, and this could be in my six-pack of picks. I think the Bills could have a rough time against the Browns, despite how the Browns have played this year. I've been, as much as I'm happy for Bills fans, the Bills offense just simply is not very good at all. Mm-hmm. You tell me the Raiders couldn't beat them? I mean, I think that they could. I think that they have a lot of good things lined up, and their future's incredibly bright. This, though, is more about their present. Are you buying the Raiders this season? All right, let's get to let's start with Cap, who's out in L.A., and he's a Raiders fan. He's watching us up on the Tube, CBS Sports Network TV. Cap, what's happening, Cap? Where you been, buddy?
What's up, BT?
Ooh.
What's up, Pete?
What's
the
up,
New
Cap?
York football giant?
All is well. How are you doing, man?
Cap.
I'm hanging, man. Happy holiday to y'all, man. I got to check in with y'all every now and then. I watch y'all. I love y'all.
I hear you. I appreciate
I'm buying
it.
In. All I'm right. buying in, man.
You're buying into the Raiders.
Not no hype, man. Not no hype. The Raiders are good, man. We just got to clean it up a little bit.
All right, let me ask you this, Cap, because we're on the same page. We know that they're good. We know that they're viable. When I asked the question, are you buying them? So week 17 ends. Is there a week 18 for you guys? You going to squeeze in play? Are you going to play a playoff game this year?
Yeah, we're going to play, man. We're going to play, man. I'm telling you, I ain't felt this good in a long time about my boys.
All right. Cap
I ain't felt this good. I feel it in my bone as Tiki used to run high with that football.
You know, right?
High and tight, baby. High and tight. Right. Cap, how long you been a Raiders fan for? How many years?
Oh,
what,
man.
What was the first team?
Stabler, man. That was my boy. I go back to that second of Dr. Dell, Skip Thomas, Willie Brown.
Understood.
Jack Tatum.
Yeah. Understood. We got you. We know the credentials. Cap, enjoy the rest of the season. We'll talk to you soon,
all
buddy.
All right, man. Y'all have a safe holiday. I love y'all, man.
Thanks,
y'all
man. Love you too, brother.
Be good, Cap.
A little early for the holiday exchanges.
Well, it's almost Thanksgiving.
Oh, come on, man. It's not even, come on.
I mean,
happy holidays.
Halloween just happened. Thanksgiving.
All right. Happy holidays for Halloween?
It's a holiday.
So what? So on the 4th of July, do you walk around and say happy holidays?
I say a happy holiday. Have a good holiday. Seriously.
Wait. What is the point?
Connor, it's not the 4th of July holiday.
Of course it is, literally. Yeah. Sure it is.
And so when you talk to somebody, you're like, hey, have a great holiday weekend.
But you would say have a happy 4th of July, not happy holiday.
Yeah,
but
man.
It's a holiday weekend.
No, the reason you say happy holidays is because not everybody celebrates Christmas, so you obviously have all-encompassing for the Jewish faith,
no.
for Kwanzaa. Yes,
no.
That's the reason why.
You know where holiday comes from, right? It's vacation. It's what? In Europe, that's what they say. I'm going on holiday.
Who cares about it? We're in the United States.
Okay, but we come from.
Well, yeah, okay, true. But do we take everything from
them? No, we don't. But a holiday is when you're basically away from work and on a vacation. Oh, so holidays are coming.
Cap,
listen, I feel you.
You call the show a week before Thanksgiving, you can start dropping happy holidays.
It's 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
All right. Still, it's not 1 week. Let's go to Arizona. John is out there. He's on his Raiders as well, 94.3 FM. What's up, John?
Hey, how you guys doing?
John, what's up, dude?
Thriving.
Hey, I'm a huge Dolphins fan, so BT, I love your passion for the Jets, but I tried to tell you about Gase. I think I called in, and you were all excited about him, and I seen his crazy eyes, but... correct me if I'm wrong.
God.
Isn't what the Raiders did is what the Dolphins is doing now? So I'm excited for the Raiders. After week one, I watched them, and I picked up Waller, and I picked up Williams, and I'm like,
yeah,
this
yeah.
team looks good.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, one of my first picks was Josh Jacobs. I'm telling you.
Yeah, you were on him immediately. Yeah. Well, you liked him at Bama in college,
obviously. I liked him in Bama. Sure. I saw him play in Bama at Alabama. Appreciate you calling. But it's also because – he's diverse. Like, if you can get a diverse running back out of college,
mm-hmm.
take him.
Yeah.
Because a lot of running backs don't catch passes
mm-hmm.
in college. I mean,
Fournette didn't catch a ton.
Actually, interestingly, Fournette, though, is one of the top receiving running backs in football.
He's
right
quietly,
now.
We know he's run the ball well. He's quietly evolved as
That's
well,
right.
for sure. And a lot of that is Gardner Minshew. It's a different quarterback.
It's a different type of use.
Sure.
And Gardner Minshew.
And he's healthy.
He's healthy also, but Gardner Minshew, can't push the ball downfield, one, because they don't have,
Shark is pretty good.
He is.
I like DJ.
He's young still.
Yeah.
Another year, he might climb into the top, echelon. Not the upper echelon, but the top, 15 of wide receivers in the National Football League. So right now, with Gardner Minshew at the helm, he's just going to chunk it down. It's not designed routes for Leonard Fournette. It's just check downs for Leonard Fournette. And he's been great with that. So, but my point is, if you can get a running back who's diverse and can catch the football, you draft them because you got them for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different philosophy that's taken over GMs and I guess player personnel people in the National Football League. If he's there in the first round, take him because that kid, if he turns out, will be with you for 5 years. You can use him up. And that's what the Raiders are doing right now. He's not playing or getting snaps like he's a rookie. He's getting snaps like he's an established vet and knows how to handle it.
Yep. And speaking of slotted in terms of the draft here, so now – the Raiders, and it's going to obviously be fluid the rest of the year based on what they do and obviously based on what the Bears do with that Khalil Mack trade, the second end of the first rounders that they got. The first one obviously applied to Josh Jacobs. Right now, the Raiders are currently slotted to go 11th and 16th. 11th and 16th. If you walk away, I was looking at one of the mocks this morning. If you walk away in the neighborhood of, and I listen, 11 and 16, can it become 9 and 12? Sure. I don't think there's going to be too much fluctuation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be in that neighborhood. A big-time wide receiver, and there's a few of them, and a big-time corner, and there's a few of them.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden, you got your tight end, got big-time wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You have a couple of other receivers who are good.
Right.
Williams and Renfro. And I mean,
I love Hunter Renfro.
I do, too.
Great route runner.
Yeah. You got a left tackle, Colton Miller. Raiders are set up. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that I am not too proud to say I was wrong. Trust me, I don't like being wrong, but when you're wrong, when you're really wrong, I mean, when you get on the air for 2 weeks and just use them as the butt of every joke, and let's face it, I don't know, and we'll get to Jay's update here in a sec, I don't know, I'm sure there's some example, yeah, of course, but in the modern era, especially going back to the origins of Hard Knocks, like mm-hmm. the Ravens were the first one, Dallas went early, right? Can you find a team that was focused on Hard Knocks who, what was depicted over the summer, whose season has really turned into the complete antithesis of what we thought they would be?
It's hard.
Either from bad to good, yeah, like the Raiders, or good to bad.
Yeah, it's hard because I don't watch a lot of Hard Knocks, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
The only one was the Jets because I thought they were bad and they were just entertaining, but they actually ended up being good that year.
Yeah, but at that point, we already knew that was deep enough into Rex's tenure where the Jets were already an established AFC, at least from a defensive point of view, a good defensive team. Like the reason we...
True.
That's why the Jets were on there. A big part, of course, yeah, of Rex, but the other ones, I mean, the bad team, like the Bengals run, they were bad. The Chiefs, Herm Edwards, they were bad. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it really the show was a real disservice, in a lot of ways it shielded them because it took some pressure off them. Everyone was like, this team's horrendous, and then you look at it and they're pretty good. All right, let's get Jay Berman's update. Coming up after that, Alan Fanica, long time. He was on that Jets team that we just mentioned. Long time Jets offensive lineman, Steelers as well. Just a good, tough player. He's in studio. We'll get his thoughts on some of the trench work in the NFL, some of the young pass rushers, how do you stop them, some of the quarterback play as well. Jay Berman's update is now. Fanica after that, right here on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Jay.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Football Friday, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Let us give you a chance to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on the show, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question... we'll get a chance to be answered by us at the end of the show here. Just hit us up at CBS Sports Radio. That's the Twitter handle for this, at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. And make sure you stick around, listen later on. Teek and I will answer the best one for you. So make it creative. Could be a little college football. Could be about the weekend coming up in the NFL, which obviously began last night, week 10. And a good game. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every single day. And always nice when we have a guest in studio. And this guy was a hell of a player. Won a championship with the Steelers. 10 years in the NFL with them. A couple of years with my Jets. Got us right to the brink. We were talking about that during the break. Finished up with the Cardinals. Got a nice little payday there before he said, let me mosey out. And I'm going to put... Now, he's got... It's rum, right? He's got... Yep. If the LSU Tigers, which is where you went to school, as we all know, yep, if they don't win tomorrow... You better pound this whole thing and put it up on social media. If you guys don't win this year, you guys are never going to win.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I don't know if social media wants to see that.
Yeah. How you doing, man? Welcome
doing
to the show.
Doing good, man. Thanks for having
good
me, guys.
Good to have you.
Yeah,
Alan,
this is great. Now, Alan, when you were in college, it was different. Alabama was good, but not dominant.
Right.
Like they have been over the last decade or so. I think they've won 8 in a row is the streak.
Yeah.
But I was just reading this. You beat them 27-0 your senior year. Who was the coach?
For me, Jerry DiNardo.
DiNardo was your coach. Yeah. Who was Alabama's coach?
Gene Stallings. Yeah, back memories, right?
Yeah. Not good ones for them.
No, back in the day.
So you still keep tight with the program down there at LSU?
I do, man. I always get my ear to the ground and keeping up.
Yeah. Now, Samta just told me, my producer, that you were committed to Alabama originally.
Ooh, and then LSU gave him more money.
And then you flipped. Why'd you flip?
I did, man. So they were fresh off that national title, maybe 92, something like that. So everybody was walking around with the big rings, and I was like, man, I'm going to get one of those.
Wow.
And made my decision the night before signing, woke up, and was like, what am I doing? You know, in high school, you put things, posters and stuff on the wall. And I had at least 20-something LSU things hanging in my room, and I was about to go to Alabama. And I said, man, I'm screwing up.
Yeah.
Wow. And,
so you were an LSU fan. And then you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So born and raised in New Orleans, man. I was meant to go
there.
Yeah,
you have to be.
Yeah, yeah. So I had a little mental lapse there and straightened it out.
How good is Joe Burrow?
Man, he's pretty good right now, right?
I mean,
he's doing the right things, man. He's making the right decisions, which I think is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
This is an odd way to frame it. What would be more impactful? if LSU wins, like, would the LSU fans enjoy a win more than the Alabama fans would be crushed by a loss? Which is more meaningful, a more meaningful part of the equation?
For sure. I mean, they've done it, right? They've been doing it, right? It would be their first, maybe, you know, little hiccup or disappointment, you know, in a long time. So they'll bounce back. They'll be okay.
I'm rooting for you guys, by the way. I'm not ashamed. I have nothing against Alabama. Great respect for their program, of course. I want to see LSU win this game.
I'm calling the game, so I can't.
He's calling the game.
All right,
I can't pick a side. Yeah, I'm doing it for Compass Media, so I'll be down there. Now you're partnering with Bayou Rum, and there's a bar. I don't know this bar. It's in
Legends
New York.
Legends Bar.
I don't think I've ever been there. It's an LSU bar. And so what are you doing with the promotion with the rum?
We're going to have a watch party tomorrow and just going to be lots of Bayou Rum being going around.
Oh,
and hopefully
crazy.
A lot of celebrating.
Yeah. Well, think about it. This is a 3:30 Eastern kick, so I know people get there a little Bloody Mary around 11 in the morning, start easing into the day. That place is going to be a nut house.
It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a fun time.
We're talking to Alan Fanick, who's with us here in studio. Terrific, distinguished NFL career. Let's transition from LSU to Alabama. 10 years with the Steelers, a couple with the Jets, finished up with the Cardinals here. What is it like to go through life as a Super Bowl champion Steeler? Like, what does that mean to you? You'll walk around like that for the rest of your life. What does that mean?
Man, you know, it's amazing to have done that, right? To be able to slip the ring on and relive those memories. It's something you hold on to forever, man.
Yeah. What's it, you know, you were only Tomlin, right? Were you with
Mike's first year was my last year.
Oh, so you were all Cowher.
All Cowher for 9 years and one with Coach Tomlin.
Interesting.
Cowher, he's the best.
He is the best.
He's a maniac.
Yeah. So the transition, it's interesting because they're both highly successful coaches. I mean, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, which is nuts to think about.
Right.
But the difference between the two coaches, is there one?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, Coach Cowher is a little more old school in the thought of, you know, serious, put your nose down, get your work in. Coach Tomlin's a little more looser, tries to get the best out of guys in that manner. And, you know, things are definitely a little bit looser around the locker room and the team. But at the same time, it's about business and getting the same job done.
Yeah, let me ask you about the end for Cowher. When it was over, did it feel like it needed to be?
No, not at all. Not at all, man. I think, you know, there was lots of talk during the season, but when it happened, I don't think, you know, we were all a little surprised.
Yeah, because it feels like that same kind of conversations are happening with Mike Tomlin, and they have been for a couple of years. You think it's not time to move on from Mike Tomlin, is it?
No, I don't think so, man. I don't. You know, you hear the rumblings, but I think, I got to just think he's happy there. I mean, you got ownership that believes in you and does anything you want.
I agree.
And, but I don't think we doubt if he's happy. I think the question is, are people still happy that he's coaching the team?
But I think people they overblow some of the failings.
Yeah. He stabilized the season like a good coach would.
Exactly.
This could have been a 3-13 season.
This is why I've always
season.
Loved him, because you're right.
No doubt about it.
I mean, they're 1-4. They were headed towards oblivion.
Yep. And three quarterbacks they played this year.
That's right.
Their starting running back got hurt. Their star wide receiver was with the Raiders, then with the Pats, then out of football. I mean, what he's dodged has been nothing short of miraculous. I've always liked Mike Tomlin. I did think, to be fair, that I thought maybe the expiration date was nearing, but the way he stabilized this season, I'd have to think he still has that locker room, which obviously is a good sign. You don't make six, not Pro Bowls, all pros without being a stud, obviously. But there had to be somebody that you lined up against and you said, man, this guy, whether it's technique, whether it's speed, whether it's sheer, you know, power, who was the guy that just gave you a rough time?
So twofold, just a mountain of a man and hard to move and hard to get anything done with was Haloti Ngata.
Okay.
With the Ravens when I was playing. I mean, just a grown man.
Yeah. Just heavy.
Yeah, just heavy. Big, heavy hands and played hard and had lots of skill. And the other guy is Warren Sapp, man. And he made you change the way you played the game. Everything about offensive line is repetitiveness, doing the same thing. You know, you could talk to one offensive lineman, they probably do almost the same thing for 16 games. Guess what? You can't do that against Warren. You can't do it because you're going to get beat and you're going to look silly.
Yeah.
So starting on Tuesday when you get in, you better get in and start practicing and getting ready. You got to change the whole way you play the game. You're going to play guard like you play tackle, but at the same time, you can't get, you know, you can't give up space because you're right in front of the quarterback. You got to change the way you play your game to play.
How do you do that in middle of the season? Because I know what you're talking about. Warren Sapp, like, by rights, he could have been a DN. He wasn't. Yeah. He was a tackle because he was so athletic. He's like Aaron Donald now. Aaron Donald is so fast interiorly, it's impossible to block him one-on-one. He's either going to, you know, run inside of you or just game you or whatever it's going to be. How do you do that midweek?
Man, you know, my first thing I did is I either called him if I couldn't get a hold of him, but, you know, you always had the same core, like, practice squad guys or the scout team.
That's right.
And I pulled that guy aside and I said, you're going to work this week. I need you to work. This isn't any, you know, one, two, three steps.
Yeah,
I need work from you this week, and you know, I'll take care of you on the back end. But we're gonna work, and that's what I did.
I like that.
I love that too, man. Alan Fanick is with us here. You look around the league now. Big Ben, obviously, you know, the issue with the elbow. He'll come back next season, though. Everybody anticipates that. Drew Brees in his 40s. Brady in his 40s. I mean, you watch the NFL now. It's obviously a very different game from the rules, from body types. But does it seem as different to you? I mean, I would imagine it has to, as it seems to us, or at least somebody who didn't play the game.
I mean, it does. I mean, you know, if you watch a game, or I watch a game now, and, you know, it feels from watching the game itself, like you said, I mean, if like an eternity has evolved between the way the game was played as I left and as it is now. It's completely different.
Does it seem easier or harder? If you were playing now, would your job be easier or tougher?
I think it would be easier. I mean, I think it would be easier a little bit.
Yeah, quarterbacks don't hold the ball as well.
Not holding the ball, get the ball out. I mean, it's all about timing, get it going. And, yeah. I mean, that's easy. I love that.
An interesting follow-up to that, because a lot of people have asked me about offensive linemen coming from the college game, which is so, like, quick. It's like, let's run 90 plays in a college game. That's what it feels like these days. And the linemen have to hold for 2.5 seconds, maybe. They get into the NFL. It's a completely different ball game. Yeah. How different is it to go from college, at least the college that we see now, and to an NFL, you know, scheme or skill set that doesn't seem to be developed in college like it used to be?
It's got to be a wake up call, right?
It is.
It's a wake up call. I mean, it's a whole nother ball game. You know, you get there in college and, you know, 11 guys are staring at the coach on the sideline. You know, coach, make my decision for me. You know, get me into the right play. And,
that's right.
You know, all of a sudden, you're up in the NFL. You know, you're making your own decisions. You got a grown man on top of you. You don't get to hold it for 2 seconds, and the ball's gone. So it's a different world.
Yeah. No, I think the college game is starting to move into the NFL game. Do you like seeing that?
In parts, you know, it's different. You know, it's not the game, you know, that we play.
Yeah.
It is different. But, you know, I think, like you said, I mean, you're also the product we're putting out on the field in the NFL now is, you know, the system you're coming from, right? So that's what the college has given us.
True.
So that's what you kind of almost have to work with.
I don't know how these running backs do it, sitting side saddle all the time, because I needed to be downhill. I needed to see the whole thing. Right. I couldn't look at half of it, and then, because if I want to go back there and I got to look here, there's no way I'm making it.
Yeah.
You're coming downhill, you can make a decision, and it's just easier that way. No, it's harder now.
Yeah, I believe that.
Think you could have opened a few holes for this guy?
Yeah. What was your playing weight?
About 320.
Jeez. Now you are?
235.
Jeez.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You look great.
Thank you.
When's the next marathon?
Not yet. Not
anytime
soon.
You got one on the resume, right?
I got one.
Four, though.
One.
He broke four.
He broke four.
That was my goal.
How are you going to let this big guy? Come on, man. I mean, I can't do it, so I can't get on. But how is this guy going to beat you in the marathon? No disrespect, Alan.
Tell me, we only have like 30 seconds here, but did you track your heart rate when you were running? Did you ever track it?
Yeah.
And so what was your max heart rate when you were running?
My max heart rate.
Was it like 150 or was it like 180?
No. Yeah, in the 50s, 150s.
See, this is why. My max heart rate
jacks up
when I get to like mile 15.
You got to take an aspirin before you start running.
I don't think it's that. My resting heart rate's like I'm dead. I'm like 52. It's just when I start running.
Find something in the middle.
That's tough.
Hey, listen, like, you did it, which is awesome.
Legends Bar, right? Legends Bar in New York. You'll be serving the Bayou rum. Lots of it, I'm assuming, especially if LSU wins.
Oh, my God.
Actually, probably more if LSU loses. Good luck to your Tigers this weekend. I'll be down there.
Get it done, man. Beat Alabama, will you?
We'll do it. I'll make the call.
Yeah. Alan Faneca, good seeing you, man. Good seeing you. Bayou Rum. Six-time All-Pro, Alan Faneca.
Can we practice in the break?
God, no, I wish he was protecting Sam Darnold right now. Bring back Damian Woody from ESPN. Get Brandon Moore. Get Brick. Get Mangold. If Darnold had that offensive line, we wouldn't be going through this mess, that's for sure. Hour two coming up. Back to LSU and Bama. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.